Yes, I'm with you. You're right there by my side. It's only a heartbeat away. When I need you, just close my eyes and I touch love. Heaven is here by my side, keeping me warm night and day.
Now, you've got to feel better by now, or I don't know what else to do, right? If you don't feel better, then I want to tell you, you're one of the most stubborn jerks I've ever met. And that'll help you feel better by saying, see, I knew it all along. My neighborhood is an experience. You know, I lived on a private knoll in Griffith Park, where neighbors could not be walking by. There were no other houses. It took 39 steps to get to the top of this private little knoll of all glass house that overlooked the park and the city. I was so lonely up there at times in my recluse and isolation, but I demanded it, and I got exactly what I demanded. And then I decided one day, with Don's help, I was lonely. He told me he was bored, and they started to push me off the hill. And I warned them that if it didn't go well, that their lives would be miserable. The other night, I took a walk down the street and I looked up at a condo that Don tried to make me buy that morning. And the real estate agent says it'll be sold if you don't take it right now, and it is tacky. And because you feel that push and you love people, I said to him, okay. And then as I walked up to the staircase one more time, my voice said so loud inside of me, and I'm not talking about what I'm talking about, I cannot live here. Doing an act of love in denial of truth is really suicidal. Any time that you deny truth for love's sake, it isn't love. It's something else. Desperation, fear, but it is not love. Very few of us know what it is to hold at that point. Now, I know what the push was to move me. And it's like if I don't make the move, I was putting my whole family in jeopardy and being grouchy. They want to go, I want to stay. And it seems when it was time to make this decision, my house became more beautiful and more beautiful and more beautiful every day. Everything that ever needed to be done to it the whole time we lived there and never could do it. 7 years we couldn't afford a heater. For years the water would run down the walls and all over the floor when it rained. Don insisted that we'd be no richer than any person that attended our church. It was his religious background. And after getting everything fixed and new awnings and the pools done and everything just fixed, and it became a show house. And I said, how could you leave this place? It is so beautiful. But when someone's urge starts urging you, there's a time to admit that it's a deep-seated urge of your own. And you take the responsibility for the urge that you're feeling and not the coerciveness that you feel like you've been forced into. Ultimately, it's been your own decision. But it's like me. Sometimes I say, this better work, because if it doesn't, your life will be miserable. When I said, because I would never, listen to what I'm not talking about, what I'm talking about. I said that I would never look for a place in Long Beach. He had to go look. You understand how we do that to our partners, our significant others? You do it. When it's a real tough decision that your value and opinion may be on the line, you always, if you take the responsibility, go ahead, take it. Take it. Well, if you're going to take responsibility, it is a good idea to examine the person that's handing it to you. And use in your consciousness, if this doesn't work, how are they going to act? And don't tell me you don't know. I know you know how they're going to act if it doesn't. And then maybe at that point you can be smart enough to say, I don't know why I'm telling you this, I am not accepting this responsibility. Now, responsibility breaks down to responding to the ability within you. So I would never participate in looking. It was up to him to find something equal or better than. When I saw what I almost signed, I figured I better participate in this. Transfer. I'm trying to teach you something under this. There is a time when you know you better get involved and you still don't. So I figured I better be willing to start looking in other houses even though I'd never leave my beautiful Camelot. I will look. Because if we're going to look, keep me out of this trash, and if I came this close, then let me get involved. Anybody understanding me at all? Okay. So I kept looking with the real estate agent, and I know my intuitive ability. I know it well. People want to know how I do it. I want to know how you don't do it. I don't know how I do it. It amazes me that everybody doesn't do it. And I've never interviewed a psychic that didn't say everybody was psychic. Everybody's intuitive. Even college professors. Western Agor's book goes into high management and finds out that the top management uses a high level of intuition is used. And it's the name of the game. I'd say to the real estate agent, take me over to that tall building. He says, you won't like them, because he knows what I didn't like by now. And I said to him, when I see it, I'll know it. I was out looking at another place that was tacky. I said, take me over to that tall building. He says, you won't like them. They're too small. The third time I said, take me over. Don, sitting there, and tell you if it's right. His name's now Christopher, but he was still Don then. I hope he's changed. So I said, take me over to that tall building. So finally, frustrated, humoring me, which is always good to do when I'm insistent, is to humor me or anyone else you know when they're being intense and insistent. Humor them for a while. It's easier than going through these long fights. So he finally drove me over there, and the minute we round the corner, I found my house. And it's the exact house that was in my dreams. And has consequently caused me a great deal of happiness. The other day, just jogging, and I've been walking every day that I can, trying to lose weight and trim up. I'm sick and tired of a metaphysician sitting around with self-pity because they're fat and because they're ugly or because they're stupid. And I have learned through this church, you can do something about anything, no matter what it is, if you want to. And I think anybody can find that you can make yourself attractive. You won't be striking. And you might not be on the cover of Playgirl or Playboy, but you will be attractive, and that satisfies me. And I've decided it's time I quit thinking I was ugly, and because that literally molds your face. They were commenting the other day on a good actress, and I can't remember her name, but they showed the variation of her roles. But what amazed the critics was her ability to totally change her appearance with each role that she played. And they wind up saying she even changes the contour of her face. Is it true that you're thinking about yourself may be shaping the very thought you have, may be shaping your body? I have taken from a 38 to a 34, really right now a 33. I used to fill this out. Do you remember? Diets don't work. What it took me to do was stop the pity pot crap. Stop the punishment. When I lose 30 pounds, I'd say to Don, we'd go buy him clothes, and I'd look at the rack and I'd say, when I get 30 pounds, I'm going to buy me those. When I lose it, it's like a punishment for being where I am. That's metaphysical. You punish yourself where you are. And any of you that are punishing yourself where you are will never get out of it. Until I decided to go buy me some good-looking fat clothes. Real good-looking fat clothes. And I went and bought some good-looking fat clothes. The hell with the day I'm going to get back into my old clothes. And the minute I put on transfer, the minute I put on my good-looking fat clothes, I looked so much better. And I thought, well, if you can look that much better, you can look that much better. And if you can look that much better, then you can look that much better. And I have been working on it. And fine, everybody's coming up to me, so I don't have to ask you. Everybody I'm running into that I haven't seen for a while says, you look so good. I said, thank you very much. I even had someone follow me home from my walk. It hasn't happened for a year. Followed me home. I loved it. I don't care if it was another man. I loved it. It was wonderful. Somebody followed me home. Thank you very much. What can I tell you? I mean, if you're going to go with spirit, it flows, and you go with the flow, you know? It's much better than saying, oh, all the cursing and carrying on you can do. Last night, I was out watering my flowers. I don't know why I'm on this lecture. But I was out watering my flowers, and these three girls backed up in the car into my driveway and over to the flowers, and I turned to her and said, this is not a public turnaround. Well, she started with the F words, MFs and Fs and everything. I just looked at her, and I said, gee, I'm really sorry. But your IQ and your class seem to have something in common. They're really low. Really low. I cannot believe that you would just gently say something to somebody and they can't wait to call you, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't feel like Lenny Bruce tonight, so I'm going to leave it out. And all of a sudden, this spews out of their mouth. You go, oh my God. And then the thing is, not to spew it back. It is so easy when someone's got their fingers down your throat to throw up. You hear me? And that's exactly where they got their finger down your throat. The best thing is back off. You can decide at all times how you're going to act. We must find God in our freedom, because nothing else will work. There's a great controversy in all the churches about homosexuality. I'd like every member to know the conclave was called in this church at its finding by all its members. And a vote was taken whether it would be recognized in this church if it was legitimate love. We don't like shows and we don't like faggotry and we're not interested in queens. We're interested in people who have social behavior, period. All kinds of people who have respect for all other kinds of people under God's sky. Somehow, somewhere, we've got to live with peace within our hearts if we want peace amongst the nations. Peace begins with ourselves. I don't have to accept it or I don't have to reject it because I don't understand what it is to be it. So all I can do is hold it in peace and let that karma work out, that karma, good or bad. My job, according to all Christian teachings, is not to judge it or condemn it, but as long as God sees fit to put it on this earth, to love it. I heard an argument. Now, I'm going to tell you a news story. I don't know if you saw this, but the news came in with this new group that knows how to cure homosexuality. It is a fundamentalist group, and what you do is you deny yourself until the urge gets so great and you can only have sex with women, and that trains you. So they talk to the guy who has three children, so the interviewer says to him, you don't have any more homosexual tendencies? You don't wake up straight one day? And then they go to the therapist, and she said, homosexuality is nothing more than a biological deviation of the genes, as left-handed and right-handed people are, brown-eyed or blue-eyed. It's no more than that. Then they go back to these people, and then he's talking to him, and the guy says, well, yes, I still have the urges. Now, that wife and three children, as far as I'm concerned, is in one hell of a heartache up ahead for them somewhere, because truth is being denied in love, and it will not work. You cannot do something wrong and think it'll come out right. That's not how the world of God works. I think that he would accept us and our truth, because in truth, we don't hurt each other. And if God is interested in anything, it's that we no longer hurt each other, that we've laid down our savagery weapons with each other, and you can be whatever you be, and I'm not going to destroy you. That justice belongs to God and belongs to God alone. You have nothing to worry about from me. You might have a lot to worry about from yourself about who you are, but not from me. I have enough trouble being who I am. So then they come back, and on the news says, the president of this organization had to be fired because he was sexually abusing. Now, he's a male. Sexually abusing the people in the program while his program is established that he could cure them. And you wonder, how long do people hold on so desperately to this? And even the group knowing this, it doesn't matter. Like, ethics and religion doesn't matter. As long as religion covers your prejudice, you'll stay. As long as religion covers your prejudice, you'll stay. And when your religion no longer serves your prejudice or your judgments, you'll leave and find another one that has the prejudice and judgments you need to protect you from having the direct life experience with something you can't handle. And just because you can't handle does not make it wrong in God's eyes. I'm not defending any lifestyle. I'm just saying the one I watched. Then the answer was back, and I'm not talking about what I'm talking about. Put it on all levels. Then the answer back from the religious people, well, AIDS is enough proof of God's judgment and condemnation upon these people. And then the therapist said, excuse me, I'm a lesbian. And if that is true, lesbians are God's chosen people because they have less AIDS than even the fundamentalists have themselves. So we are God's chosen people. End of argument. I bring this up because of the suffering That must be in these people's hearts and their families at this time. But whose heart hasn't felt suffering because you're different than what your parents thought? I teach you in this church, it's not a dogma. But as far as I'm concerned, I've seen enough people and families and children in a church situation to realize that a child is an unborn part of a parent that it couldn't be. You put those parents together, and anything they couldn't be seems to find life through their children. And the dream is to give your children what you couldn't have. What they are, what you couldn't be. You can't give them what they don't have. And as we watch this, the church teaches us even how to separate ourselves from our children. How do we get a God that teaches to hate, to judge, and condemn? How do we get that far? How do we get where religious wars are fought between religions? You and I, our consciousness on this earth, I think, is so important. What can you do? Think right. Thinking has an energy. An energy collects to other like energy. And there will be a great collective unconscious level of our thinking and our energy always. You've seen Russia declare that she's moving towards democracy. You've seen the United States go into a state of shock. You see Mexico moving towards democracy. The big elections and the fights going down there, they've only had one party all these years, and it's so full of corruption it shows the ultra-rich and the ultra-poor. It's like the whole world is being wakened up, and the whole window of heaven, as the scripture says, when the window of heaven is opened, that is the time. To me, the television set is the window of heaven. It's literally taking airwaves. It takes a picture of what's going on anywhere in the world, transfers it into its airwaves where it really is, and brings that right in front of you and shows you the entire world, how man behaves, what his cruelty is, what his kindness is, what his concern is, what's happening to his oceans, what's happening to his forest, what's happening to his morals. So that is the greatest voice, as far as I'm concerned, of God. Not God telling us anything what to do, but showing us what we are on a global level. And global prayer has come into existence, and global concern has come into existence. Human rights becomes the important issue of the day for people. Unless people are free, if you don't free them, then you'll never know freedom. To hold someone else in hate, to hold someone else in anger, is only to be reborn and experience that hate and that anger until you've had enough experiences for understanding. So we must find God in freedom. The Spirit is what guides us. That is the Holy Spirit, what we call the Spirit of this church, the love that is between us. There is so much love and really caring between us that has created a spirit, and that spirit gives you the feeling of the group and the church you're in, and that spirit will guide you. It will encourage you. It will help you, and its job is to lead you to freedom and to lead you to God as your goal, back to the source. There was a funny thing on television. Now, I don't know if you saw this one. I feel like Johnny Carson in a monologue tonight. Now, lighten up. I'm not that too heavy on you. I know you're thinking. Break time. Let the jello relax again. It'll stay there. Relax your jello. A little gray matter. They come up with a new gizmo. This gizmo can determine whether you're male, female, how old you are, your complete medical standing as you are, and also whether you have alcohol or drugs in your blood. You know what the gizmo is? You know what it works on? Body odor. That's where they're going to take the reading. Now, I remember in raising horses and having people go out to ride, there's one thing you tell them about: get a horse. If you're afraid of him, he'll smell it. Horse people know that. They'll sense your fear. Any animal that you're dealing with, I raise parrots, and some of you come to the ranch, you see the size of their beaks. I know that you respect them. There's 600 pounds of pressure in there. They'll snap your finger. They'll take it off if they want to. When you raise a parrot, you have to give as much trust as you want that parrot to trust you. There's equal trust going on there. And you look at that whole factor of what can take place, and you have to decide whether you're going to move on fear or whether you're going to reach out in trust. And I've never known a parrot not to give me a long, long warning before it bit me. I've never known anyone who wasn't kissed on the cheek by an angel of wisdom before they got their butt kicked. You just didn't listen to it. You have to come down into freedom. God becomes the goal. Then when we look back on things, there's things that therapists take us first. First, there's the guilt. When something goes wrong with me and someone, the first thing I feel is, what did I do wrong? I still believe deep within my heart, if something goes wrong between me and anyone, I'm to blame. I know anyone who has a fight with me thinks I'm out laughing and enjoying and telling everybody, and they're the only person suffering. In a situation what you hurt in, You never think of the other person hurting. You only think of how much they're hurting you. Does anybody hear me? I want you to think of somebody you're in the odds with, somebody that's really hurting you, and you sit here thinking they're not hurting at all. It's not convenient for you to think that they're hurting. They could be hurting just as much as you are. So after you go through the guilt, and then you realize that you get angry, that's the next step, and then from anger you reach into forgiveness. And forgiveness is a letting go, it's a reframing, a re-understanding. Now a lot of people think they've tucked it away. We have a saying here, I can't hear what you're saying because what you are is too loud. I can't see what you're showing me because your body odor is too strong. Now, if they can detect this fear, alcohol, drugs, your sex and everything with the new technology just by letting it sniff your body odor, then how much are we psychically reacting to each other's body odor no matter what we're putting out? It seems that our eyes printed, our tongues printed, our palms printed, it's in our energy field, it's in our body odor. What we are is so strong that sooner or later somebody's going to smell it, and I don't care how much we perfume it. And the perfume market is one of the most blooming markets going around. A lot of people are trying to cover up a lot of things and distract you by the scent of passion, obsession, whisper, aviance. After you get finished with the guilt, you'll come to realization you did not make anyone act in any way. That's the way they act. And then you begin to understand they act out of their wisdom and their knowledge and their instincts. And it takes a long time for that process to take place. The idea of coming into this church, and I said to Carl as I was listening in my meditation, because there is a higher voice that does speak to me. If it's my higher self, fine. If it's Philip, fine. But it does speak to me. And was giving me the wonderful thing is I always wonder, what am I going to say? What's going to happen tonight? Because nothing's prepared. I don't know what they're going to sing. They don't know what I'm going to say. We just come out and let it happen. So he starts speaking to me about the, and I can't say it in his words, I wish I could. Maybe someday I'll trust you enough to go into trance and let him speak for himself. And let you see it sometimes without a business card or money or profit or performing involved in it. All of you have a higher self, and all of you, I wish I could teach you to tap into it and channel it at times. It's worked so beautifully. But he's talking about the guilts, the fears, and the hurts that we bring here and we come together. And it's one more chance for me to go out one more time and move it maybe one more inch. Not, I can't cure it and I can't take it away, but we hear it again. And when we hear it, each time we become stronger and stronger and stronger to bring ourselves into freedom, to bring ourselves into peace, to live our life in such a way that we have no anxieties or fear within us. That is the goal. And you have an opportunity to come and to bring all the things that hurt you. I don't have to find them, and you don't have to go to a psychic to find out what they are. Just be quiet, and it'll start telling you what's bothering you and where the hurts are. And maybe you have to go through the guilt until you realize that the anger comes. You watch this after someone dies, and there's a love between two people who have been married a long time. I watch Linda go through it. First, there's guilt. I could have saved him. I could have done this. I should have cooked him that. I should have said that. I shouldn't have done this. And then after the guilt, she was so goddamn mad that he would just take off and leave her and in debt and all of this. And then when she went through the anger, then she went through releasement and understanding. That didn't happen sitting and talking to me. That took a good 2 years for that healing process to go on with therapy with her and working and talking to her friends. So don't come in here and look for a miracle unless you're prepared to spend 2 years and in watching your seed grow and be glad if there's one little sprout of green leaf that's out of it. It'll bear fruit soon enough. But just be glad that we're reaching towards the light in friendship and peace and understanding. Here's a place to feel safe, all of you. Whatever you're going through, who you're going through it, we don't care if you're having marital problems, divorce, separated, how many times you've been married to jobs, it's unimportant. We all have scars. We've all been battered. Not here. I declare this the Switzerland of the spiritual world. It's hard for me to believe there was a place where Nazis and Americans sat in the same cabarets during the war. This is Switzerland. And your consciousness is very important to light. To the light, if everything is waves and everything is thought, and you people surround yourself with the light, do you realize it is your consciousness and your thoughts and your love for humanity that is the light? And the more your thought is added to that, the stronger the light is for this planet. And the better this planet is just because of your beatness, I don't care if you go back to being a bartender, a clerk, or the unemployment line, or the welfare line. That's not important to me, that part of it. That part will come. What is important for me is I want you to understand that the way you think and your consciousness makes you an integral and very important part of this planet. And without you, God is incomplete. Because there's not another you, never has been and never will be. And if another you, if possible, and isn't, then God isn't complete. He'd have to recreate you identically in someone else to be complete. Amen? So if we listen to that higher self, it'll guide us. It'll direct us. It'll help us through these things. It'll carry us gently and loving through the human experience. And maybe as a people, if we really work together, we'll make this house count for something. We'll make that ranch. I listened to the news today about the greenhouse effect. What they thought would take 1,000 years happened in 100 years. They said that all the bottom land is going to become desert, that it will just burn up, and the only thing people will be able to do is move to a higher altitude. I want you to know we already have 150 acres of higher altitude. I want UMS to give wound to the tomb service with no dogmas and no creeds. I would like to know that there'll be a peaceful place for me to end my physical body and a very peaceful place for every one of you sitting here. With New Age music, so be it. A whole wall that's maybe an ocean scene while you lay in bed because you can't get to the ocean with video technology today, and Don's music on tape, so be it. Danny and Ruby's new album out on tape that you're connected to, so be it. Retreat people coming over to see you and say hello, people visiting by and caring about you, our own members taking care of our own people with love, not just using them as Medicare writes off, not caring if they get their drugs. Do you want to wind up in one of those homes in the wheelchairs and know where you're going to be shoved in the corner to dribble? Then it's important that we be each other's people. And it's important that you put your arms around your lovers. And let them know, besides the complaints and the problems that life brings in two people being together, that you're very happy that they're a human being inside your life. And maybe you might ask them to be patient. God isn't finished with you yet. Tell the truth to them. Tell them you know you're as much as a stinker as they say you are. Tell them you know they're not wrong. The self-righteous attitude. The self-righteous can stink more than... I won't say it. So if our body odor is going to give us away, you don't have to have your fingerprints taken. Now we're learning each other's body odor. Then we might as well learn that what we are is, and people respond to it accordingly. Amen? But what marvelous power is ours in this realization. So I want you to know that you found a place where all the things that hold you down one by one will be taken from you lightly as you work with it, and like that song, like an eagle that has been captured and released, that eagle is eager to fly, seeking its place in the sky. Together with this spirit and the consciousness of this people, we can make each other's dreams happen. And if I can't make your dream come true, I'm going to make your existence as comfortable as I can possibly get it for you. Amen. Praise be the name of Jesus Christ.
You look lovely. Synergy is Saturday. We're going to have a good time. And they're all going singing, you know. And expect right now on reservations that there are going to be at least 150 people there. So it's going to be a nice celebration for us. And we're going to make this so wonderful, and we decided next year we're going to do it right, and we're going to keep it up, because I hope you feel like I do. I want the whole world to know about this way of life. Not me, not you, this whole way of life and how it can be, because the more we reach this out and the more it becomes that way, that's the more kind of people you'll be running in everywhere you go. That would be real nice, huh? I want to meet all those people at Neil Diamond's that lit their BIC, 28,000 people. I said, where do you people work and live? I want to come with you. You know, it's only during that. Hi, Ruby. How are you? Are you excited?
Mm-hmm.
She worked so hard on Synergy and Gary and Carol. I honestly have had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. They did it. Yeah.
Who knows?
I know is how I feel. When it's real, I keep it alive. The road is long, and there are mountains in our way, but we'll climb a step every day. Lord, lift us up where we belong, where the eagles cry on a mountain high. Lord, lift us up where we belong, far from the world we know, where the clear winds blow. Some hang on to used to be, live their lives looking behind.
And all we have is here and now, in our lives out there to find.
The road is long, and there are mountains in our way, but we'll climb a step every day. Lord, lift us up where we belong, where the eagles cry on a mountain high. Love, lift us up where we belong, far from the world we know, where the clear winds blow. Time goes by, no time to cry. Life's you and I, alive today. Love, lift us up where we belong, where the eagles cry on a mountain high. Love, lift us up where we belong, far from the world we know, where the clear winds blow.
Hello out there. We talk about the collective consciousness and the energy. I'd like you to think of UMS as a beautiful lighthouse, one that shines forever and draws people of light consciousness to us. And what do we need to fuel a light? We need energy. And your offering is just that energy. It is the energy that you wish to give so that others may receive. So let's take that energy and hold it in your hands. Now let's bless it. God bless the giver and bless the receiver. Let this energy be multiplied and sent throughout the universe to help heal all conditions and to bring forth love and peace upon this planet. Amen.
I know the love is in my return.
If I'm not mistaken, I think 6 windows have already been bought for the ranch. We have to raise, and we have to move on this quickly. And I know that every now and then we're asked to carry a burden. And I never thought I would ask you to build something like this with me or to carry this burden with you. But I think that some of you can identify to what I'm trying to do. And I think you can identify that you're a part of the results of that. The greatest friendships and the closeness we have formed have been on ranch retreats. And I think a lot of people in here can say amen to that one. There's something forged there that's incredibly beautiful with people. To build this dream, we want to move our library, our archives up there, all the television shows from 15 years, radio, lectures. We want to supply Walkmans so you can walk around the ranch and listen to anything you want to listen, from New Age music to Bucky Fuller, who's gone, or the Casey people who've gone, or Sophia Caragula, who's passed on, the scientist. It's all there and all available. The windows go for $500 apiece, and that's how we're raising the money. That means we need 50 people to buy a window. And the first payment starts to construction. We have to give them $8,000. And then I think there's another step from that. But that's putting in the new electric poles, running new lines to it. It's not coming off the house because, remember, that's the magic lot we bought next door, for those of you who've been up there, when that guy started building his house right up against the ranch, the fence line. We didn't know it came right to the end of our building. And he's going to build his house there. Well, you never heard such prayer run through heaven. I don't care where God was that day, he had to hear me. And we tried to buy it, and he wanted too much money for it. And I said to Bo, he'll call back in 6 months, and we'll buy it for $14,000. It turned out to be right. It was close in there. So I figured he put the building pad and everything down for us. So we'll just complete that job. So if some of you can buy the window, or a couple of you want to go together, fine. At that point, I want each window engraved. I'm going to do a little Dr. Schuler because I want my name on it. I know Christopher wants his, and these are the people who have created one of the hope. First true universal chapels that has a very virgin start with man's idea with God once again. The new church, the new spirit. So any of you want to participate in that, please do. Synergy, for those of you that I'm hearing cannot afford lunch, and if that's the truth, you can go without paying for the lunch. I think Carol says we have made, I have to verify that with her, but there's enough reservations that we do not have to pay the extra bill if you show up without lunch. There for a while we were in financial jeopardy, but I think we've cleared our goal so we can let other people in without paying the full fee. And if you're going and you're going to the luncheon and the singing and all a part of it, you have to tell the office today and tomorrow because they're holding even the kitchen open till tomorrow. Let's get into a little bit of meditation with each other. What did you want, child? What?
Sunday is Bo's 30th birthday.
Oh, yes. And is he hitting the wall?
It's important. Oh, it's tough, those big zero numbers when they flop through. So if you love Bo like we love him, you've ever been to that ranch, pick up a greeting card on your way out and write him what you feel and leave it in the office if you're not going to see him Sunday. But let's give him a wonderful
day. He really needs that vote from you right now. He's... I don't know why he's hitting it so early at 30, but his parents just come out that he was estranged to, and now he's examining, you know, what am I doing with my life? I'm just a ranch hand. And I'm saying, say what? You're just a what? So you know how we get when we need love. It's Bo's time to be nourished. It's his turn. So we'll respond to that. The idea of being together and being with the Spirit is the most important part. I think that we may have our difficulties with religions, but I don't think that any of us have our difficulty with our love for the idea of God and his purity or his spirit or the holiness or the care. The more science discovers, the more we see a higher intelligence always working. And everything in the universe is contained in something, contained in something, contained in something. It's all with greater and greater intelligence. For all of you, according to your own hearts and your own faith, you're about to sing what I think you're about to sing. It'll be a great meditation if we just join in with you in our thoughts.
If you know the situation and understand it, then you do. And if you don't, you don't. Don't worry. When Ruby and Danny were singing "Up Where We Belong" tonight, and you were then you talked about synergy, and I remember that I played that. For that first synergy a long time ago. And we've gone through some hell in those years, in that meantime. And I tell you, I'm glad to be right here right now. It's it's a real big one.
Those who know know.
Thank you.
love, where there is injury, pardon, where there is doubt, faith, where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. The words of St. Joan of Arc. Dear God, if I am in the state of grace, I pray you keep me there. If I am not in the state of grace, I pray you bring me there. Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Beautiful. Don and I were driving up to the ranch to the last retreat. I'm sure you heard about it. We put on a music tape, and that song started, and the lightning started hitting the clouds over that desert, and it was a lightning show. I was sniffing, he was sniffing, so we just held hands and sniffed together and said, holy, 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 let it go, you know. There are those nice, warm moments of the Spirit. Now, each of us, in some way, has given something into this. Whatever you were thinking has added into this collective energy. Now you have an opportunity to realize that the sum we have created here of this energy is greater than its parts. And as each of you now bring yourself back and come into yourself, you not only bring your part back, but you bring a touch of each of us with us. It becomes the hologram. That which was a piece is now whole. Then let these final moments be your breathing in the energy of our collective consciousness. Hear the music. Hear the teachings. Sound will continue to go out from this planet indefinitely. Somewhere in space, the sound of us even exists. In times when we lose our body, maybe our spirit will hear that sound and draw it to us. Now I ask you to be in peace. Bring the energy into you. It is strength. It is meat to eat for many days. Amen. Well, Sarah, you did okay. I think I've come a long way from everything's okay till you finally convinced me. I feel very okay, right? Just a minute to hang out with you before you say goodnight. Thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing in the dream that so many of us now hold in common. Thank you for my lay. I've always wanted to have somebody put one of those over me. Thank you very much. I'll sleep with this tonight. You can count it. So if you have these sweet dreams, it's just me, treading softly, just me. If you're with a friend, you've got the greatest gift. If you're with someone you love, don't ever rip at the fabric of their being. Cherish it. Keep it cherished. I cherish what we are together. Good night. God bless you.
There's going to be a baptism if you'd like to stay.
You.